So can you present the results?
Basically, the study was set up originally looking for a improvement in median time to progression from 3 months to 4.5 months. So, you know, being a pretreated group, it was thought that the capecitabine activity in HER2-positive patients would probably be, the median time to progression would be about 3 months, and 4.5 months was felt to be reasonable, though given that it would only have been improvement in time to progression by a month and a half, overall survival was also initially felt to be something that needed to be looked at as well. So the original sample size was 528 patients in order to be able to see survival at the end as well as the time to progression. But like all the large phase 3 studies, there was an interim monitoring plan that was built into the trial. The final evaluation for time to progression was supposed to occur with 266 events, and the interim was 133, half of that basically. So the plan with the trial, and this was discussed, of course, with FDA, a problem with a study like this where you have open label, docs know, patients know who's getting lapatinib, who isn't, is that you do have potential for bias influencing the assessment of the endpoint. So it was planned to have all the studies that were done sent to a blinded independent radiology committee, basically, that would be the ones who would actually read the entire, all films on all the patients and determine who met the criteria for response and when the progressions occurred. So when the study got to past the 133 patient mark, there was a data lock as of November 15th of last year. There were actually 114 events by that point that 321 patients entered. So all 321 patients' films were reviewed, and the IRC said, we see 114 that meet the criteria for the study. And the analysis for time to progression was then driven on 114 events. Went to the Independent Data Monitoring Committee, and they saw that the study had crossed the O'Brien-Fleming boundaries for early reporting by a wide margin. We saw, first of all, the capecitabine group did better than anticipated. Instead of 3 months, it was 4.5 months. But the group getting the capecitabine and the lapatinib was out at 8.5 months. So there was nearly a doubling of median time to progression. Also, response rate was improved from roughly 14% to 22%. So clearly it was an active regimen. The other important aspect of what the DMC looked at, of course, was the safety data. Really, there was very minimal grade 4 toxicities. Only 1 or 2% of patients had grade 4 diarrhea on the combination arm, just a few. So it was really a surprisingly well-tolerated regimen, since there is overlap of the toxicities. When you look at the drugs individually, there was a concern that there would be significant synergy, so to speak, in terms of toxicity, but it wasn't there. So based on the efficacy as well as the safety, the IDMC made the recommendation that the accrual be closed, the results announced, and patients who were still receiving control be offered lapatinib, and that's all unfolded over the past few months.
You mentioned the rash, and it seems like oncologists now are starting to become dermatologists. We have so many agents that cause rash. Can you put this one in perspective in terms of how commonly it's a really bad problem?
The number of patients coming off therapy with the combination arm was 14% versus 11%. So with the dose modifications, it wasn't a problem. I think it will be something that will have to be watched as it gets moved into earlier settings. Certainly in the adjuvant setting, it will be interesting to see the impact of the rash in the adjuvant trials, earlier setting, how much tolerance patients would have there.
Was this a double blind?
No, it was open label.
Right.
Right, so there is potential for reporting biases then, but even with that, there really wasn't a lot of difference.